I myself is the last presenter, so my title is a global meta-analysis of greenhouse gas, of the management, impact of management practices on global warming and greenhouse gas intensity. We don't have much data about the global warming potential and greenhouse gas intensity, so this is a global meta-analysis of different data available in the literature. Agriculture management practices contribute about 10% of the greenhouse gases in the United States, is about 20% globally. The impact of these greenhouse gases is usually calculated as net global warming potentials, which accounts for all the source and sinks of CO2 equivalents from farm operations, chemical inputs, soil carbon sequestration, N2O and CS4 emissions. Another measure of greenhouse gas impact is the what we call the net greenhouse gas intensity, which is expressed as GWP per unit crop yield. So while there are lots of information available on the greenhouse gas, there's but relatively little information about GHG, GWP and GHGI. So the objective of this experiment, or this study, is to conduct a meta-analysis of global data available in the literature on the individual and combined effects of tillage, cropping systems, and nitrogen rates on GWP and GHGI using full or partial accounting. Partial accounting means we use only the greenhouse gases with or without soil carbon sequestration. Full accounting means we take account of all the sources and sinks. For example, all the greenhouse gases, we have got the sink is the soil organic carbon sequestration, and then you also have the sources from farm operation and nitrogen fertilization. The second objective is to relate GWP and GHGI with the duration of the experiment and soil and climatic condition of the various locations, and to identify any improved management practices that can reduce GWP and GHGI. So the way I did was I have collected data from 57 experiments and 225 treatments from various soils, from regions with various soils and climatic conditions from the literature. This data has been pulled out using the Weber Science, Google's, and other literatures, whatever the data that has been done about GWP and GHGI. So I calculate the GWP and GHGI using the partial and full accounting. As you shown there, is that when you use the partial accounting method, GWP would be CO2 equivalents from N2O plus CH4 emissions, with or without CO2 equivalent from Del SOC, or change in soil organic carbon or carbon sequestration rate. Full accounting is the GWP calculated based on N2O plus CH4 emission plus CO2 from farm operation and nitrogen fertilization and sorry about that.
My wife started to call me.
Sorry. So the full accounting method is used for CO2 equivalence that comes from N2O and CH4 emissions, and then also the CO2 equivalence from farm operation. Farm operation, when you use the tillage, herbicide application, fertilization, and all other harvest, all those mechanized farms. And also the nitrogen fertilization, we have got the transportation and manufacturers of nitrogen fertilizers, and then all other inputs in there. Okay? And then these are all the sources minus the sink is the carbon sequestration rate, which is the CO2 equivalent from Del SOC. And then all data is the, put together all those both partial and full accounting. The reason for that is I didn't have enough data to pull it out to draw enough conclusion. So what happens if I put those full accounting and partial accounting data together, and I did that for that all that operations. Then the GHGI is simply the GWP divided by the crop yield or the biomass yield or the forage, grain or forage data. And then you say that the negative GWP and GHGI means sink, and positive means the source of CO2. Okay? The experiments, the other requirements for the doing the global analysis is that the experiments should be conducted on the croplands. Data from the models were excluded. Experiments should be randomized, replicated, and arranged in a proper design. Soil carbon sequestration should occur at 0 to 20 centimeter depth. GHG should be measured at regular interval, including closer measurement at regular episodic events, such as immediately following tillage, precipitation, irrigation, fertilization, snow melts, etc. A time horizon of 100 years was used to calculate the CO2 equivalents of N2O and CH4 emissions, which have 298 and 225 times respectively more global warming potential than CO2. CO2 emissions associated with farm operation and nitrogen fertilization were either calculated by the amount of fuel used or estimated from the literature. Okay? So, these are some of the results that I have got it using these different management practices. When you look at the tillage effect, no-till versus conventional till, there is a column for GWP and GHGI. So you see that the amounts for the full, I have got only 9 observations were available for the tillage, and you see those all data, full accounting data and partial accounting data. All of these shows that when you do the no-tillage is significantly reduced, GWP and GHGI. So the percentage reductions by using no-tillage is from 66 to 188%. When you do the all data is 66%, and then the full accounting 188% for reduction GWP. For partial accounting data, you can reduce by almost 123%. Similarly with the GHGI, just by using no-till. For the cropping systems, I have used different kinds of systems over here. You use the crop rotation versus monocrop. And in that system, I have got the large grain and small grains. If you use the large grains, so like corn, soybean versus continuous corn, actually, corn, soybean actually increase GWP and GHGI. That's because the soybean, and the story says the soybean also produce N2O. It started producing lots of N2O, and actually, so as a result of that happening, GWP and both GHGI is actually increased with corn, soybean compared with the continuous corn. But in the small grains, where I am from, especially small grains with wheat and barley, the GWP and GWP is decreased by almost 22%. When you use a cropping intensity, 1.00 versus 0.67, is reduced by almost 37%. Again, the cropping, but it varies again when you do have a different kinds of cropping intensity. For 0.67 to 0.50, there is actually an increase again. When you compare the perennial versus the annual crop, you can reduce your GWP by 168% and GHGI by 215%. Perennial crops reduce. You don't apply the nitrogen fertilizers, and there is a lot of high increased amount of carbon sequestration in the perennial crops. The combined management practices is a combination of tillage cropping system and nitrogen rates. And you can see when you use a combined practices, you can even reduce your GWP and GHGI by almost 88% and 70%. And when you combine with the duration of experiment, We have got limited data for the number of duration experiment, but you can see as the duration experiment increases, the changes in GWP and GHGI actually increases. It increased from 0 to 10 years. And then after that, only after 10 years period, the GWP started to decline. So it takes a while to get the actual effect of tillage. Only after 10 years. And since we don't have enough data, maybe there may be more data that we probably might need to look at this. In the cropping intensity, actually there is a decline. As you increase the number of years with the cropping intensity, and the bottom is the duration of the experiment, you will see those GWP and decline in GWP and GHGI when you increase the duration of the experiment. So you have that the cropping intensity, rotation versus monocrop, corn soybean versus corn, perennial versus annual. So with the limited amount of data, I can see some kind of trend going on in there. The effect of the nitrogen rate, this is the one that I got most of the data for the GWP and GHGI. This is kind of interesting. If you look at the increase in the nitrogen rate, as you increase your nitrogen rate, actually GWP and GHGI doesn't increase. There is actually a decline. If you look at this graph carefully with that chart over there, from 0 to 100 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, there is actually a decline of GWP. What they are not increasing. Only after you go about from 150 or so kilogram nitrogen per hectare, you will see those increase, GWP and GHGI. So what does that mean is that if you apply nitrogen rate at the recommended rate, you are not actually increasing GWP and GHGI. That's because the crop is taking the nitrogen. There is a crop requirement for nitrogen. As crop And if you apply excessive amount of nitrogen fertilizers, then there is a real increase in GWP and GHGI. So this is kind of interesting. When you look at the combined management practices with the duration of experiment, combined with the tillage, crop rotation, and nitrogen rate, you can see GWP and GHGI again. GWP start to increase up to period of 3 years, and then they start to decline. The GHGI start to increase again. So we probably need more data to look at this. When you look at the multiple linear regression, when I talk about the soil and climatic conditions, if you look at the using a soil texture with the total annual precipitations and mean annual air temperature and soil texture data, the relationship of GWP and GHGI is actually improved. If you see that R square and P values up there, they actually improve. So the soil and the climatic conditions play an important role in calculating GWP and GHGI. Same thing with the GHGI. GHGI, you see similar kind of trend when you take those soil and climatic conditions. So the conclusions of my study is that no-till diversified cropping systems and reduced nitrogen rate, reduced GWP and GHGI compared with the conventional till, monocropping, fallow, and high nitrogen rate. Improved combined management further reduced GWP than individual management. Full accounting of CO2 emissions reduced GWP compared with partial accounting. That's because of the CO2 transform management and nitrogen fertilization. We need to take care of that. Adoption of improved management practice for a longer period may further reduce GWP and GHGI. Accounting for soil and climatic condition improves the relationship between GWP and GHGI and experiment duration. So the final conclusion of my study is that long-term studies are probably needed to accurately estimate the effect of management practice on GWP and GHGI. So that's the end of my study. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer any questions. Do you have any questions for the previous presentation? Yeah? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just a microphone, right?
Okay, so
you don't have
a lot of different management practices.
You have it perfect, all of just the nitrogen rates in that. Yes. Brazil, Argentina, Australia, Asia. Whatever the data has been studied out there, it's just a glimpse of all over the world. Whatever the data available in literature, I just pull them out. Studies been Japan. Yes. Yeah. I have not looked at it. I don't think we have enough data to look at. Most of the studies are done in the United States or some only a limited number of countries. I'm not able to draw any conclusions about that. Any questions? If not, that would conclude the sessions, and thank you for coming. Thank you very much.